Well, do keep that passage open in front of you. At the moment, it seems all we hear is bad news. Switch on the television news or the radio or open a newspaper if you've been brave enough to go out and buy one. And page after page, it's just bad news. The pandemic and its effects on life, on society, on the economy, on education, on mental health. And if you've not had enough of bad news in this country, you can read on and see how it's affecting other countries. We're surrounded by bad news. But at the heart of Christianity is good news. Did you see that in verse 36? Announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And literally that word good news there is gospel. It's where we get the word gospel from. And this is good news that changes individuals. It's good news that can change societies. It's good news we need to receive and believe and cling to in the midst of the current pandemic and all the bad news around us. And at the heart, it's good news about Jesus. Jesus' last instructions to his disciples before he went back to his Father, we find at the start of Acts in chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And as we've been going through the book of Acts so far, we've seen that Peter has been taking this good news of Jesus so far just to Jewish people in Jerusalem and Judea. Persecution has scattered others further afield. So in chapter 8, we saw Philip taking the gospel to Samaria. Jesus says, "You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So far, that big cultural leap of taking the message about Jesus to Gentiles, to non-Jewish people, hasn't happened. And it needed a rather spectacular intervention of God for Peter to grasp that Jesus is for all peoples and not just for Jews like himself. And it's in this chapter that we read of that momentous day in history when the good news of Jesus finally reaches Gentiles. I want us to look at two things together from this passage. And here's the first one. Firstly, salvation in Jesus is good news for all people. Salvation in Jesus is good news for all peoples. And we see that in verses 1 to 35. God works to bring the good news of Jesus to Gentiles, and it's a two-pronged strategy. First of all, he starts off with Cornelius. Verses 1 and 2 tell us about him. Cornelius is a high-up army official. He's got many men under his command. He's a part, we're told, of the Italian regiment, which was an elite number of officers from Italy itself. So here's someone at the heart of the Roman establishment. He's got a high station in life. And we read that he and his family are Gentile, but they fear God. That means they recognise that the God of the Jews is the one true God. And Cornelius is devout in that God-fearing. He's committed in praying. He's committed to following Jewish customs for helping those in need. Here is someone who wants to please God, but doesn't yet know how to be put right with God and enter into God's family. But God knows Cornelius and has chosen to save him. So God sends an angel to him, his heavenly messenger, to give Cornelius instructions to send for Peter. And Cornelius immediately responds and sends some of his men off to find Peter, which would have been a good day or more's journey. But it's not just Cornelius who needed to be prepared for this critical moment in history. Peter needs help being ready to play his part too. So Peter, as he rests before his meal and is hungry, is given a vision of a sheep full of different animals. Some of the animals in the vision are ritually clean in Jewish law, but some are not. And here's the surprising thing in his vision. God tells him to get up and eat. Look at Peter's response in verse 14. "Surely not." Good old Peter. Do you remember some of his other impulsive reactions? "Jesus, you mustn't be killed. Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll even die with you." Three times God has to send this vision to Peter. Three. Three is a significant number for Peter. Three times he had denied Jesus the night before his crucifixion. Three times the risen Jesus asked him if he loved him. Three times the risen Jesus told him to be a shepherd to God's people. And now, three times this vision before Peter finally gets the message. And I wonder if it was at this moment that Peter remembered Jesus' words to him. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from outside can defile them, Jesus said. For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. We find that in Mark 7:17. And Mark adds in brackets, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Penny finally drops to Peter. This vision isn't about eating animals, but it's about who can become God's children through faith in Jesus. And so off he goes with Cornelius' men. And look what he first says to them when he reaches them, Cornelius and the gathered assembly in verse 28. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Peter's got it. And so he finds himself in the midst of probably the most eager and open, hungry congregation ever. Cornelius, his relatives and close friends. Look at what Cornelius says at the end of verse 33. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. That, to me, sounds like every preacher's dream. Look at Peter's conclusion in verse 34. I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. For centuries, most Jewish people had misunderstood why God had chosen them to be his nation. His choice of them had led them to pride and thinking there was something innately good in them that had made God choose them. But right from the start of God's rescue plan, he had the whole world in his sights. He promised to Abraham millennia before that one of his descendants would be a blessing to the whole world. Many generations later, when Abraham's descendants were a nation living in the land that God had won for them, he told them that they would be a light for the Gentiles. You see, it was always God's plan that the good news of Jesus would be for all peoples to hear and respond to. So three applications from this part of the account. Firstly, can we just marvel at God's grace? If you're listening in today and are a Gentile Christian, your welcome into God's family flows out of this event in Acts 10. God was not bound by anyone or anything to extend his mercy to us. It wasn't that his grace was forced to Gentiles. But the wonderful thing is that it is his heart, his plan, in fact, his delight right from creation was to have a people from across the whole world who through Jesus would know him personally as Father. And in these times of bad news, this is actually the good news to find joy in every circumstance, every day. God's grace has reached me, a Gentile, far off from him. The good news of Jesus has changed me. I have eternal security because of God's gracious plan to include someone like me in his people. And perhaps you're listening this afternoon and you wouldn't yet say that you are a Christian. You're listening because you're curious, you want to investigate. Perhaps the lockdown has sparked that in you. Then I don't want you to realise at this time that even you're listening in today is God at work wanting you to hear about Jesus and respond to the rescue that he died to win for you. God wants to speak to you now through his word. He wants you to hear his message. Will you engage, I wonder? But secondly, we have to recognise from these verses that God is still working to take the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And he uses people like us to achieve that. Here in this account, it was Peter making that cultural leap out of his own race and culture and society into a Gentile world. But today he calls people like us. Wonder how global is your vision? How are you playing your part in God's plan for the gospel to be preached to all peoples in all places? I don't know about you, but in our busy lives, it's so easy for our vision just to become very local. And I think that's even more so in lockdown. I know there's pressure as well, juggling your work and family and church commitments. But we all have a part to play in God's mission to all nations. And actually, that's a real delight and a privilege. We could all pray. How about this week taking a different mission partner, a country, and praying for the good news to spread there? If nothing else, it will make you pray about something different than lockdown. We see we help the good news reach the ends of the earth by praying. And it's so exciting when you see how God answers those prayers. Many of you know I've had the privilege for a number of years to support a church and some friends working in Kosovo. And I remember a few years ago, we'd been particularly praying that our friend's next door neighbour would be open to hear the good news of Jesus and begin to read God's word with them. And our friends had been back in the summer for a break. And the day they arrived back in Kosovo, this next door neighbour was desperate to start reading the Bible with them. And as far as I know, that's still happening now. Isn't that encouraging? We help the good news of Jesus reach others by praying. So I wonder if we can be committed to pray for those taking the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. If you use a prayer app on your phone, why not add in one or two people you know working cross-culturally to do this? Or add in a country or two that are close to your heart and learn about them and pray for them. But we can also be involved by giving. So much more could be done. So many more people reached with the good news if more resources were given. I wonder, are we giving even a small amount each month to worldwide mission? But also we can help by going. Perhaps as we read this story of Peter crossing cultures, God is asking some of us to leave Kidlington or Oxford and go to a place where there are not many Christians. That's not just something for young people and young adults and professionals. Recently retired people are retiring soon. Seek God. Maybe he would have you serve for a year or two while you still have energy and time and resources. Of course, we can't all leave the mission that God's given us here behind. But just as he prepared Peter for this moment in history, I wonder, might he be preparing you? How are we playing our part in God's worldwide mission? But thirdly, I wonder if there's any way in which you're, like Peter, mentally placing limits on whom God wants to reach with the gospel. God had to give Peter a vision in order for him to grasp that the good news of salvation in Jesus is for Gentiles too. I wonder if there's any groups of people that you just write off as being unlikely to respond to the good news. For me, it used to be people with tattoos. Apologies to anyone listening in today with a tattoo. The problem was mine completely. I just had a wrong prejudice. And a few years ago at a church guest event, who should come and chat with me at the end of the event? But a guy had been coming along to our parent and toddler group who was covered head to toe in tattoos. I'm not just talking about one, I'm talking about every bit of skin covered here. And it was at that moment I felt God exposing my prejudice, my wrong thinking. That guy came and he heard the good news of Jesus and he began to look into it for himself. But I wonder for you, is there a particular group or type of people you just don't even think the good news is for? Can you begin to pray for them? This passage shows us clearly, salvation in Jesus is good news for all peoples. But let's get back to the story and see what happens next. And in verses 36 to 48, we see secondly this afternoon that salvation is in Jesus alone. Salvation is in Jesus alone, no matter who you are. We left Peter with his hungry audience. And so he preaches to them the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, he says it's a message of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. We live in turbulent times, and lockdown won't be the end of the turbulence as the economic and political implications kick in. But who knows what life will be like in the years ahead? But Jesus offers us peace, even in the midst of turbulence. A peace not based on your life going well and your life going how you'd like it to go, but a peace of eternal security because it's peace with God. I wonder, do you know this peace personally? If you're listening in and you're not yet a Christian, I just encourage you to keep on listening. You see, the good news of peace is all centered on Jesus. Verse 36 tells us Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the one on the throne of the universe. And so he's the one we need to listen and respond to. And so Peter preaches to them, and it's a message which I think is the original three-point sermon. That's where I'm going wrong. I've only got 2 points today. But he tells them three things they need to hear in order to respond to Jesus in faith and obedience. Firstly, in verses 37 to 38, he tells them about the life of Jesus. Jesus, God the Son, was anointed by God the Father with God the Spirit. All the amazing things he did, like healings and raising the dead and miraculously feeding vast groups of hungry people, all point to who he is. They are signposts saying Jesus is God the Son. And then secondly, Peter talks of Jesus' death and resurrection in verses 39 to 41. And he shows them how these two events lay at the heart of the good news of how we can have peace with God. Jesus was killed on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. And Peter was one of many eyewitnesses to both of those events. And these are the events that secure for us salvation from sin and death. Jesus takes the punishment for my rebelling against God by dying in my place. He rises again, showing that the wages of my sin, which is death, is now defeated because he's dealt with my sin on the cross. But that's not the end of the story. And so thirdly, in verses 42 to 43, Peter tells them of Jesus' coming again, the future coming of Jesus in judgment. You see, there is a day when Jesus, as Lord of all, will judge all people. But because he died, bearing the judgment for your sin, and because he rose again, he's the only one in whom forgiveness for sin can be found. All those who believe in him, who place their life trust and their heart's affections in him, will escape that coming judgment when he returns and instead be welcomed as children of God into his family, now and forever in the perfect world to come. This is the good news of Jesus. This is good news that even lockdown can't take away. I wonder if this is the message that you've responded to. You see, believing in Jesus is more than an intellectual assent to his existence. It's about putting your trust in who he is and what he's done. If you're listening in today and you know that you don't trust Jesus in this way, then I encourage you to investigate more if you've got more questions. Please contact me through our church website or look at our Facebook feed where there's some fantastic resources where you can investigate Jesus more. But maybe today is a day you want to respond to Jesus. You've been hearing this message, but you've never personally responded. Don't delay. As these Gentiles listened to Peter, they believed. They didn't need to wait for an invitation. It just happened as they listened. Their heart knew, yes, I believe this is true. And they responded. So to make it clear to Peter that salvation is for the Gentiles too, God creates a second day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out, but this time on Gentile believers. Peter concludes, this is God's plan. So what's to stop them from being baptized? Baptism is a picture of what God has done in rescuing us in Jesus and a sign that we are now part of his family, his church. What an amazing day that must have been to be a part of. But two applications from this second part of the passage as we close. As we see Cornelius and his household respond, we are reminded again that salvation is in Jesus alone, no matter who you are. Cornelius was a God-fearer. He was living a fairly upright moral life, but he still needed to hear the gospel of Jesus and respond to it in order to be saved and experience God's forgiveness and come into God's family. Perhaps that's you. You believe that there is a God. Perhaps you're trying to live a life that's good and upright, but that's not enough. You need to place your trust in Jesus as Lord of all, in order to be welcomed into God's eternal life. And for many of us who are followers of Jesus, we spend our lives around people who basically are fairly decent and nice human beings. They help other people in lockdown by doing shopping and getting prescriptions. They pay their taxes. They raise money for charity. They clap for the NHS every Thursday evening. Decent folk. But this account reminds us that they still need to hear the good news of Jesus and respond, just like Cornelius did. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Whether that sin seems big in our eyes or little, whether that sin is something society frowns upon or something society thinks is okay, Jesus is the only one who can rescue from the judgment against sin, from death, and the everlasting hell our sins deserve. So please don't hold back from sharing the good news with others because you think they're nice people. Even nice people need Jesus. In a time when people's lives are upside down, what can you do to introduce Jesus to them? Can you use social media? There's so much good stuff out there at the moment that we can use to send to friends and family. We can invite people to listen to our messages. There are good websites we can point people to. Everyone needs to hear this message and respond. But secondly, Cornelius was a different race from Peter. But because salvation is found only in Jesus, every type or group of people need to be given the chance to hear and respond. I wonder who in Kidlington is different to you. Who as a church can we pray for and start to reach out to? Maybe it's the immigrant community amongst us, the many Eastern Europeans, Asians and increasingly Kidlington Chinese too. Maybe God has brought them here to us, that through us they might hear the good news more easily than back home. What about working class communities? Statistically, we're told that they are much less likely to know a Christian. What could you do? What could we do to give them a chance to hear the good news? You see, salvation in Jesus is good news for all peoples. And salvation is found in Jesus alone, no matter who you are. Let's rejoice in God's grace to us, that the good news has reached us and Jesus has saved us. But let's not lose sight that we exist as a church to proclaim this good news to our village. And at a time of global bad news that impacts every individual in so many different ways, God has entrusted to us good news. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Father, we're humbled that you, the Almighty God, would be so gracious and extend your salvation to people even like us, Gentiles. Thank you that through Jesus we can have peace with you. Thank you that that peace holds us in the midst of turbulent times. Thank you that that peace offers us a sure and certain hope for the future. And we pray that as we continue in lockdown, that you'd widen our vision. Please impress upon our hearts the wonder of this good news, that we would not hold back or be slow in sharing that news with others. And when lockdown ends, please show us how we can spread this good news further to peoples who've yet to hear, that more and more will taste and see that your grace is wonderful and come to know you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.